Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for coming along to this afternoon's Member Conduct Panel meeting. My name's Adrian Ward. I'm the Borough Council's Marshal Officer. I will start the meeting off, and then when the panel is nominated to the chair, I will hand over to that person. Before we start, please note that this meeting will be recorded, and the sound recording is subsequently available by the council's website. Please also note that under the openness of government body regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting, and that the use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. So moving on to the agenda, item one, apologies. We have no apologies. The panel members are all here, so we are able to proceed. Item two, appointment of chair. Do any member of the panel wish to nominate somebody to the chair?
I would nominate Councillor Castle to the chair.
Seconded.
Councillor Paul Murphy, I will second that.
Is the panel happy with Councillor Tassel to proceed? So I will hand over to Councillor Tassel to carry on chairing the rest of the meeting.
I am Councillor Joan Tassel, the appointed chair of this Member Conduct Panel. The other Member Conduct Panel members are Councillor...
Councillor Paul Murphy.
And as the complainant being considered is about the parish councillor, Councillor Hall at the end, who is a non-voting parish council representative, is also present. The panel requires three voting members to be present to proceed, and therefore we are able to hold the hearing today. The panel has been convened to consider the determination of complaints of a breach of the members' code of conduct of Bourne Parish Council by Councillor Andrew Brown. We are not aware of any interests or other reasons which could prejudice our ability to hold this fair hearing and make a sound determination of the matter. If any person in this room is aware of any reason why they believe that a member of the panel should not take part in this hearing, that person should now state that. Councillor Brown has the right to be represented at the hearing, although he has indicated that he will be representing himself. Can Councillor Brown confirm that is correct? You have the right to be represented,
yes.
But you prefer to do it yourself.
Yes.
Can you confirm that, please?
Yes, I do confirm.
I shall now introduce the various people taking part in this hearing and then explain the procedure under which this hearing will take place. We have Alex Orlum.
That's right, that's hello there.
And we have, I'm sorry,
I was the appointed investigator on this. And just for information, I'm accompanied by my colleague Mark Edges, who assisted me with all this.
And then I have Mr. Goff, who is our independent investigator.
Adrian Ward, the Marshal Officer.
Thank you, Paul Boyd, Diplomatic Services Officer, Clark, for the meeting.
I will outline the procedure we will follow today. This is not a court, therefore evidence will not be given under oath, and participants are not required to stand. But I should remind all parties that the panel is quasi-judicial and that the principles of natural justice will be applied. The investigator and Councillor Brown have indicated they do not wish to call witnesses. The panel will reach its decision on the basis of the balance of probabilities. All comments and questions should be put to the chair. The other two panel members and I may ask questions at any time of any person in order to clarify the matter. I have and will exercise the right to intervene and interrupt any person if that person is providing evidence that is not relevant to the proceedings. If any person behaves in an unruly, abusive and disruptive manner, I shall exercise my right as chair to adjourn the hearing in order to help that person move from the roof. Please note that this hearing will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. Please also note that under the openness of local government bodies regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog upon this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the control of the council. The order in which the panel will proceed is as follows. Mr. Oram, the investigator, will present his report. Councillor Brown and panel members may ask questions of the investigator. Shall we start on there's an awful lot of photos as well. Can we go through one by one? And then do it, and then go on to the next.
The usual process, Chair, is to make sure everybody understands the order of proceedings that we do, go through it all at the beginning of that.
The investigator, Mr. Oram, will present his report. Councillor Brown and panel members may ask questions of the investigator. Councillor Brown will present his case, and the investigator and panel members may ask questions of Councillor Brown. The panel will then ask for the views of the independent person, Mr. Hoff. The investigating officer will sum up, followed by Councillor Brown. The panel will then withdraw to determine its views on the facts and whether a breach of the members' code of conduct of poor Cornish Council has occurred. We will be accompanied by the monitor officer and the officer keeping notes of the proceedings. The panel will then return to the room and I will announce the panel's decision. If the panel finds that there has been a breach of the code, I will ask if Councillor Brown wishes to respond to the finding before the panel considers whether to recommend to Cornish Parish Council that a sanction should be imposed. The panel may also seek other views regarding sanctions before withdrawing to consider what sanctions should be recommended. If the panel finds that there hasn't been a breach of the code, then no sanction will be recommended. The panel will announce its decisions today. The decision and reasons will be recorded in the form of the minutes of the meeting, which will be issued within 10 working days at the end of the hearing. In the event that we find that there has been a breach of the code, Councillor Brown has a right to appeal, which can be exercised within 10 working days of the date of the publication of the panel's decision. Is everyone clear regarding this procedure? Before considering the complaint, the panel will decide whether the press should be excluded. There is a presumption that the hearing will be held in public, but I will ask the monitor officer on the advice of this matter.
Thank you, Chair. As part of the pre-hearing process, I sought the views of the investigation council for hours to whether they felt any of the matters should be considered in confidential session, and we all did. I also considered the investigation report myself, and I saw no reason for it to be exempt or to be considered as confidential. The only recommendation I am making is that the detailed witness statements should be considered as exempt and therefore confidential information because of the nature of some of the comments made by some of the witnesses about other members of the parish council staff. Therefore, what I would recommend to the panel chair through myself is that if the investigator or Councillor Brown intend to refer in detail to any of the comments made in the witness statements, that let me know in advance so we can consider whether the panel needs to vote to go into a confidential session to consider those particular matters. And once we've done that and we're out of the way, we can then call people back into the room. So that's my advice in terms of exemption of confidentiality.
Okay. Do I need this when I come back in?
Yeah,
do I need it now? So we will start with is a start with our investigator.
For you, Chair, we just need to clarify that there's no disclosable pecuniary or personal interests. Item 2 on the 3 on the agenda.
Okay. Do we have another item?
Chair, I've got my app switch this fan off. I'm having real trouble with it.
Yes, you can.
Councillor Murphy, none.
Councillor Tassel, none.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Hamilton,
no. Councillor Vaughan, none.
Councillor
Bourne,
none.
Thank you, Chair. My report can be found on page 9 of the agenda bundle. I don't think there's anybody present who hasn't, I hope, had the opportunity to read through the report and take a look at it. So it's certainly not my intention to sit here and read it to you. I hope you've all had a chance to go through it yourselves. But just to draw attention to a few points that I think are useful for the panel to focus on. Obviously, on page 11 of the bundle, paragraph 1.2, details of the original complaint presented to members, and that from the base of what I was asked to look into. And actually from a factual point of view in terms of whether that occurred or not, Councillor Brown throughout has been very cooperative and assisted us thoroughly with the investigation, and it's never been a disputed fact as to what was said at the meeting. But you'll notice in the report, after I've set out the relevant legislation to this complaint, including the elements of Horne Parish Council's Code of Conduct that I believe are applicable here, namely 2I, that members are required to value their colleagues and staff and engage with them in an appropriate manner, and one that underpins the mutual respect between us and is essential to good local government. And paragraph J, always treating people with respect, including the organisations and the public you engage with and those who you work alongside. I set out what is an unusually large amount of background to the events, and I hope I'm excused for that, but I felt it was important that those reading the report and considering Councillor Brown's comments were at least aware that there's been a long-standing issue at the Parish Council in relation primarily to horticultural matters, and I don't intend to go through the detail here, but I have set out in some detail in the report some of the issues that I think led to Councillor Brown having serious concerns, and I think that's one of the points I want to get across. Whilst I clearly, and I'll go on to say why, I think Councillor Brown's statement was inappropriate in terms of what he said and in the forum that he said it, I think that he did have genuine concerns, and I think as members read through the report, pass the background to Councillor Brown's conduct prior to the 6th of November 2018, which is set out from page 18 to 19. He did try and raise some of these issues or his concerns with firstly Councillor Gary Hughes, who was the chair of the parish council, and then Councillor Paul Dell, who replaced him, which I consider was the appropriate route to take these matters, and to an extent I think he was let down by the way that they failed really to act sufficiently to address the concerns he had, and I'm sure Councillor Brown will expand on that if he wishes. Obviously the focus This investigation is what Councillor Brown said at the meeting on the 6th of November, and was prompted by a decision made by the Parish Council's Parks and Management Committee to go with one particular project over another. And again, that's set out on page 20 of the bundle. Now, the problems I have with Councillor Brown's statement is that he chose, during a public park meeting, to make a number of allegations, including that the clerk was responsible for completing the competing proposal that was submitted in the name of the grandson. That this was part of an ongoing vendetta by the clerk against Councillor Hollingworth. That the vendetta had been conducted at the expense of parish council and taxpayers' money. That all but one of his colleagues on the council were aware of the vendetta and deplored it. That the clerk's conduct amounted to a criminal offence, misconduct in public office. And that he did not raise the matter at the HR committee because they traditionally sweep this stuff under the carpet. Now, I've stated in my report that the background evidence demonstrates that there have been long-standing difficulties between Councillor Hollingworth and the clerk. One of the issues for my investigation isn't to establish who's to blame there, but I did think it was important to establish that Councillor Brown's comments at this meeting were made in good faith. They weren't made maliciously. He wasn't simply trying to malign the clerk for no reason. And I believe that he did make these comments in good faith. The council does have a procedure in place for pursuing these, and I think we've touched on the fact that I think the council did take efforts to get them addressed within that forum. What I don't think, though, is that the fact that that didn't move forward gave him the right to make the comments that he did during that meeting of the 6th of November. He has agreed to abide by the code of conduct, which includes a responsibility to treat others with respect. He is effectively an employer of the clerk and should be mindful of her rights. The accusations he made against her during the meeting, directly attacking her integrity and her reputation, were made in a forum where she had no prior notice of this, no right of response during the meeting, no proper process or investigation had been followed. And for that reason, I believe he failed to treat her with respect and therefore failed to comply with the code.
I think the first thing that occurs to me, Madam Chairman, is the question, why governance? What is the purpose of a member's code of conduct? And it seems to me the purpose of it is to bring it, is to contribute towards bringing about good governance in an organisation. Which caused me to ask myself the question, what is the purpose of good governance? And I would suggest that the answer to that is to better run the organisation and thereby enable us to do a better job for the people we serve. And I think the implication of that is that if any aspect of governance is getting in the way or not contributing to doing a better job for the people we serve, then it should be jumped. It's getting in the way. The next question I asked myself is, did I break the rules? I think it's going, in the light of Alex Oram's report, I think it's going to be extremely difficult for you to find me not guilty on that charge. But I do also think that the issue I was trying to get dealt with can perhaps be better moved forward. We then ask the question, why? And for 8 years, the parish clerk has bullied, harassed and victimised Councillor Jane Horringworth at Hollingworth and occasionally other councillors who stood up to her.
Could I just make a point? We are still in the public part of the meeting and again you're making these accusations where there's been no evidence of any investigation into that.
I was going to come to that.
If that's correct.
Do you wish me to pause? Do you wish me to continue in the public meeting?
Yes, please.
The clerk has used her position as a public employee and the facilities provided by the parish council to do this. And in my opinion, that is a clear example of misconduct of public office, a criminal offence, which the government feels quite strongly, setting a maximum term of life imprisonment. Well, I don't imagine that would apply in a case like this. This misbehaviour was particularly affecting and impeding the work of the Environment Committee of Cork Parish Council, which I chaired last year. I observed the clerk's behaviour over several months before drawing this conclusion about her activities. I then spoke privately to every other parish councillor, with the exception of Councillor Roger Price, and every one of those councillors, with the exception of Councillor Carolyn Formerer, agreed that this misbehaviour had been going on for a long time, was deplorable, and that they were not going to do anything about it. I've been involved in running various sizes of organisations. I know that when you've got a member of staff who is failing at some aspect of their job, you don't just leave it, you deal with it, because otherwise it's waiting to be a problem further down the line. I and others before me have tried to get this issue addressed, and I used four different ways. I spoke to the senior councillors I referred to see if the clerk could be discouraged from this misbehaviour. I asked the chairman of the parish council to put a stop to it. I asked for this matter to be considered by the HR committee, which it was not, and I personally spoke privately to the clerk. And none of these produced any action or result whatever. Was I supposed to tolerate this outrageous misbehaviour, keep my head below the parapet and pretend I hadn't noticed anything, like my fellow councillors, or should I push to get this matter addressed? I have no doubt at all, in terms of the proper management of an organisation, what the answer to that question is. The issue today is that you are asked to make a judgment about a matter of governance, the words in my statement, which are not contentious, as Alex said. I have a written statement and I provide a copy. But there are two other matters of governance which are connected with my words and which, in my opinion, are of far greater importance than the words I use. The first one, the clerk's misbehaviour, which has been going on for 8 years, that's much longer than I've been on the council, but that's what I'm told by my fellow councillors.
Chair,
could
I, as the moderator, also ask for a brief adjournment? I'd like to give some advice in private.
That's all, ma'am.
We will move into the room next door.
Please interrupt.
So, for the purpose of the take, brief adjournment. Now back in session again.
I've taken some advice from the monitoring officer, and I would like to hand over to Mr. Ward to give us the details of the advice that he has given me.
Thank you, Chair. So the advice I've given to the panel is that the purpose of this afternoon's hearing is to consider complaints about statements that Councillor Brown made in a public meeting about the conduct of the clerk. And I feel that if we allow Councillor Brown to carry on making those comments in another public meeting, that would not be proper. But equally, I think Councillor Brown, under the principles of natural justice, has a right to make the case that he wishes to make to the panel, because you are the decision makers. But my advice to the panel is to ask Councillor Brown if he has further comments to make about the clerk and her conduct, and if so, that we vote to go into an exempt session to allow Councillor Brown to put those points to the panel. And then when he's done so, if there are any other issues that he wants to raise that don't relate to the conduct of the clerk, we can go back into public session, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Brown.
Well, I've said, I have confirmed my belief in the truth of what I stated.
But so do you have any of the comments about the conduct of the clerk that you're intending to make this afternoon?
I don't think so.
You could probably carry on then, Chair.
Well,
if by any chance you do, I will stop you immediately.
Yes.
Okay, carry on then, please.
The issue today, you're asked to make a judgment about a matter of governance, which are the words of my statement. And I was saying that there are two much bigger governance issues which are probably in effect. One of them was the clerk's behaviour, and the second one, and in my opinion even more seriously, the failure of various chairmen and core parish councillors to deal with it. I can't say I can say the failure of the Charnwood Council, because although it's been going on for 8 years, I've no reason to think you knew about it. So the question, in a sense, is which way are you going to jump? When I first met your consultants, before they really started formally asking me questions, I pointed out there were two ways they could approach this issue. The first one was the narrow view of whether my statement contravened the code of conduct or not, or the wider view of whether my statement in that forum was justified in the circumstances, i.e. the long-term misbehaviour by the clerk and a failure of the council to do anything about it. If your consultants had chosen to take the narrow view, considering whether my words were a breach of the code or not, then they merely had to compare two very short documents, my words, which were provided to them in writing and are not in dispute, and the Code of Conduct. And these are both small documents. This is about an afternoon's work, and so far it's taken 8 months and reams of evidence, and all costing this council many thousands of pounds. And I wondered why. The consultants assured me at the beginning of our meeting that they wanted to explore the wider context, partly so that their report could be helpfully constructive rather than merely mechanistic. Sort of mechanistic is my word, I don't remember Mr. Oram using that word. They have certainly taken evidence as though that was their intention. There's an awful lot of it. But their report doesn't reflect this intention, so I wondered why, and was this their decision, or were they told to do it? Now, from the consultant's final report, in paragraph 6.14, they state that, I quote, it does not fall within the scope of this investigation to consider whether the clerk pursued a vendetta against Councillor Hollingsworth. In fact, they've actually taken quite a lot of evidence about that. And there are three things in the evidence. Councillor Ken Brown states in, I'm going to quote briefly from the evidence. Do you wish this to go on in public session, Madam Chairman? These are very brief quotes.
Okay.
I think you're a charitable question from the exempt witness statements. We would have to go into an exempt session.
I'm going to go into, if you're going to quote from this,
both
of these verbal sheets.
Yes.
And if Councillor Brown could just refer the panel to the page and the paragraph number and ask them to read them, and we would then have to go to exempt session. But if we're going to read them out,
Well, taking you firstly to Councillor Ken Brown's evidence, incidentally, he's no relation to me.
the notion of telephone interview, Chair, on the last page of your...
In paragraph one, there was a sentence beginning, "I was aware." And that is a sentence I'm drawing to your attention. In Councillor Cordell's evidence, that's the supplement we were given today. In paragraph 12, there is a sentence, "He," meaning myself, "saw quite correctly in my opinion." That's the second sentence I'm drawing to your attention. And then in Councillor Jane Hollingworth's evidence, in paragraph 48, there is a sentence, "The statement he," referring to myself, "made," any single item in my statement that was not true. Now it seems to me today that your alternatives are, one, you can find me not guilty in spite of your consultant's report, and I can see that would be very difficult for you to justify. The second one is that you can find me guilty and add nothing, and such a verdict would ignore the real governance problems this issue identifies, and have the effect of sweeping it back under the carpet to continue damaging the standard of governance and effectiveness of the council in Hall. Your third choice, as I see it, is that you can find me guilty, but qualify your findings, acknowledging that there is a long-standing problem in Hall Council and recommending that Hall councillors deal with it. That might lead to a real improvement in governance in that council. And if Charnwood Borough Council desire to influence parish councils in their area to have high standards of governance, I don't think you can just look the other way at this one. It's been going on for 8 years, and so far I'm unaware of any actions or involvement or whatever from Charnwood to do anything about it. So I come back to the questions I asked you at the beginning. What is the purpose of a code of conduct, and what is the purpose of good governance? And I add, and what is Charnwood Borough Council going to do to achieve good governance in Cornwall? That's the end of my statement, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Now I'm going to ask the members of the panel and the investigators, they want to ask any questions. Mr. Orman?
No, I got the opportunity to ask Councillor Wren all the questions that I knew to ask, but I presented my thoughts and then we were able to win.
No, I've got questions. I think it's been quite clear.
Councillor Paul Murphy, no questions, thank you.
Councillor Ball, no questions.
Yes, I have. You stated that the... And I may be wrong over this, but the atmosphere of the old council and the way way that the governance works with it is detrimental to how the environmental committee works, that it's not allowing it to do its job properly. Am I right?
I think what I said was that...
Well, it was something worse to that effect. Yeah. Do you have any evidence? I've just asked the question, I've just written it down here to say, do you actually have any evidence of the work of the Environmental Committee is being jeopardised by what is happening elsewhere? Because you are saying that because of all this, the Environment Committee is not being able to do its work. Am I right?
Well, it was having its work, interfered. As its chair, I can see that every time an issue arose which the clerk thought was in any way connected with Councillor Hollingworth, and in some cases were proposals she was putting forth, there was a sort of immediate knee-jerk reaction to chuck spanners into the works as fast as possible on spurious grounds in some cases. I think I gave Alex Ora several examples during the course of his question.
So can I just, excuse me, my voice is going. Can I just ask, the Environmental Committee, is that the committee that's Corning Bloom, that is part of the Corning Bloom?
It's the committee, the principal committee that Corning Bloom would relate to.
Right, that's okay. I'm just trying to clarify.
If they needed anything doing, as it were, to support the work they were doing around the village, they would talk to the Environment Committee.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much.
Could I just clarify for the panel, is Councillor Hollingworth a member of that committee?
Yes.
And you're a member of that committee?
Yes.
And is she a member of Corning Bloom?
Yes.
And is your wife a member of Corning Bloom?
Yes.
And are there no concerns about conflicts there?
Potentially. But I picked up the hint that was in your report.
It was more than a hint.
And don't vote on those matters, make a point of not doing so.
It just seems to me.
Perhaps I should just explain something for the committee, otherwise we really should trip over it. The Environment Committee that existed, I think, for a considerable number of years, I chaired it last year, the previous chair has stepped down. I chaired it last year, and then this year after the election, we had several new councillors, and the committees have been restructured. So the Environment Committee, as it stood then, exists now.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to ask the views of the independent person, Mr. Goff, please.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I think the first thing to say is I've had no previous involvement at all, no previous knowledge, in fact, of any of the parties that have been the names of the individuals. And as far as I'm aware, I've never dealt with anything related to Corn Parish Council. So my stance on this is completely independent. I've got no history, if you like, of what's been going on. I think the first thing I have to say is that clearly a high standard of conduct is expected of those in public office, elected councillors. Councillor Brown, as he has agreed, presented a written statement at that meeting in November. The fact that it was written shows that he thought about it. It was, if you like, premeditated. He'd gone to the bother of writing it down. Therefore, he had plenty of time to think about it. It was intentional. Even though I think he wanted it published in the minutes, in fact, it ended up just being verbally read out. It wasn't therefore something that was said, as it were, in the heat of the moment or in reaction to a debate. It was a clearly intentional, premeditated statement. I think my understanding is that there is already, or there was at the time, I don't know if it's still in place, some mediation process already underway trying to deal with some of the situations, and that was by the, get it right, Leicestershire Rutland Association of Local Councillors, which I think you were aware of. It seems to me that not only making a reading out a premeditated, pre-written statement at that time, when you were aware that there was already something in process, frankly, it seems to me it makes the matter worse. It exacerbated it. So my view is that the statement shows a clear breach of the two sections of the code of conduct that were referred to, 2R and 2J. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, I think we've heard Councillor Brown's concerns. We've heard him once again presenting them as facts. And from obviously his perspective, he's got a firm belief in that. But I think in making his statement, he paid scant regard to the clerk's feelings, his own responsibilities as an employer, or his duty to adhere to the code of conduct. He made very serious accusations against the clerk at a meeting that was not convened to consider matters in relation to that matter, that was in public, where the clerk had no notice that these comments were going to be made, and she had no right to reply. Now, as I've stated in my report, he suggested that he made these comments in some way to resolve the situation. We know that the association is working in the background to mediate these matters. He himself is a member of that association, I think, director of it.
Yes.
And yet he chose this moment to make what I consider to be an inflammatory attack on the clerk's integrity. At a time when a different matter was actually under consideration. As the independent person said, this was not a heated comment. This was something that he clearly thought about. He knew what he was going to say, and I believe he said it in a matter that was deliberately provocative and inflammatory to cause a reaction. Now, in a sense, you may consider that to be understandable, given the frustrations that he's explained to you about how to get this matter resolved. But I think in inflaming the situation rather than trying to allow the proper process to be followed to work towards a constructive resolution and one that was fair to the clerk would have been the better route for him to go down. His failure to do that and instead make these allegations presented as facts at this meeting, I think, is a clear example of him failing to treat her with respect.
Thank you. The mediation which was being planned, in fact, I think even the board at that stage referred to by Richard Gough. At that time, I knew what was being proposed, and I had no confidence in it whatsoever to produce any results. That lack of confidence was entirely correct. It happened. It produced no result whatever. It was a complete waste of space and money. It was not a mechanism for getting the real issues addressed. It was a further mechanism for keeping it swept under the carpet, making it appear that something was going on, when in fact nothing was going on.
Did you attend those mediation meetings?
No.
Okay. Well, we're going to withdraw now to determine the facts and whether a breach of the members' code of conduct has occurred. The finding of the panel, as Councillor Brown did make this statement on the 6th of November, which is the subject of the complaint, the panel's conclusion is that the statement made by Councillor Brown did breach the Cornwall Parish Council Code of Conduct, Part 2I and 2J, and that he failed to treat the clerk with respect. So then I'll would like to ask Mr. Warner if he'd like to have any comments, please.
No, I haven't got anything to add up. I normally give. Is this in relation to potential sanctions or? I don't think, I mean, as a general rule, I don't tend to give a recommendation on sanctions. Obviously, they are fairly limited under the current standards regime, and the sanctions that you do come up with are a recommendation to the parish council. Beyond that, all I would do when considering what, if any, sanctions are appropriate, is to draw your attention to the various mitigating and aggravating factors in relation to the conduct, which I think are set out in the report, and which we spent actually the majority of the time discussing today. Councillor Brown has told you why he felt the need to make the statement that he did at that particular meeting, and what he was trying to achieve. Again, some of the information around that is in the report, and members can take that into account. I personally, given his responsibility to adhere to the code, and given his responsibilities as an employer to the clerk, think that his approach was misguided. And I think he entered the making a statement, I believe, knowing that we would likely end up here, personally, but he may have his own comment on that, but that he thought that was possibly a price worth paying for getting this matter dealt with. But beyond pointing you towards those factors, I have no comment to make on that.
Mr. Goff.
No, I don't have anything to recommend at all as yet.
Councillor Brown.
You've announced the judgment. I effectively was pressing you earlier to have a qualification of that judgment about encouraging Cornwall Council to do something about the issue. You appear not to have done that, am I right?
Can I clarify, Chair, as well as making recommendations to Cornwall Parish Council about potential sanctions for a breach of code of conduct, the panel also has the ability to make wider recommendations to seek to improve governance at the parish council. But that comes after the next stage of
procedures. Procedures and due to make that decision. So if you've got any comments you wish to make about the potential actions that come out of the breach, now's the time to make those comments.
All right, I think I've made my comments, thank you.
Okay. So, we've found that there has been a breach of the code of conduct, so we will now go away.
Councillor Paul, ask you a question. Do you hold any other responsibilities on the council apart from Millwall Parish Council now? Are you vice-chair, or
I sit on a committee which is called the Grounds and Facilities Committee, which has encompassed the work of the Old Environment Committee, and I sit on a working party, not a subcommittee, but a working party of that committee, which looks after the Village Hall and Old School buildings.
Yeah. So you sit on them committees, you're not vice chair or chair or anything like that.
No.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Disappointed in the behaviour of a parish councillor, and we recommend to Cornwall Parish Council that they issue a formal letter to the member setting out the breach of the code of conduct, and that the member issues an apology to to the clerk, and that apology will be witnessed by the chair. We fully endorse that all six recommendations by the LRALC are implemented, if not already done so, and that the recommended training on the code of conduct and interest should be mandatory for all Horne Parish councillors. We also recommend that an independent review of this impact of the LRALC training recommendations be undertaken before the end of the year. And that ends the inquiry. Thank you.
Chair, can I just explain that Councillor Brown does have a right of appeal against the decisions of the panel, and I will write to him to confirm how an appeal can be made if he wishes to do so.
Thank you very much.